Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
And going to be talking all things America, the band, with Jude Warn after this.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road. How long you gonna stay here, Joe? Some people say this town don't look good in snow. You don't care, I know.
Ventura Highway. Stronger than moonshine. You're gonna go, I know.
Friday feeling already. Ventura Highway by America. Refugees of the turbulent 60s that came out of the wilderness traumatized and weary. But the breezy soft rock therapy peddled by America had the power to heal and blow away the pollution of cynicism. America arrived on 70s American radio with a sound that echoed disenchanted hearts for young people everywhere. And the three American boys who named that band had an interesting story to tell. 50 years this year is the birth of America, and there's now an authorized biography out by Jude Warren. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from America itself, talking about America, if you can get that confused, is author of America, the band, Jude Warren. Jude, good morning to you.
Hello, Giles.
Good to have you with us. Whereabouts do we find you on the planet today? Whereabouts are you today?
I'm in New York City, Manhattan, so great to be here usually, but a bit trying as of late for everyone I know in Spain, too.
Well, we're hopefully just coming out of it now anyway. People are out on the beaches after this weekend. Now then, America, a band that, you know, some people say, oh, yeah, you know, a horse with no name, and that one I just played, Ventura Highway, but so much more. And they really took American music, part of that soft rock, taking American music out of the desperation and the disillusionment of the late 60s.
Yes, they really did. Right with Crosby, Stills, and Nash and all that was going on at the end of the 60s in America, as you say, along with other bands too at the time, like Bread and the Eagles, even in their earlier days, took that sound forward into the next decade.
So tell me a little bit about how America formed, because they weren't like most bands. They were, and they call themselves America, but they weren't actually in America when they formed.
Exactly. They were three American teenagers, but when they formed and met, they were in London, actually. They were Air Force brats, so their dads were stationed there, their fathers at the time, and that's where they all first met, at London Central High School. So Americans living in Britain, nice combination of influences.
It's funny, isn't it? Because you think that military families wouldn't be too pleased about their offspring growing their hair long and wearing check shirts and playing guitar and talking about sort of flying their freak flags high.
Right. I anticipated that too, that typical father-son relationship, or one of them from that period, the different generations coming together and not necessarily agreeing on everything that was going on. But when I spoke to Jerry and Dewey about their experiences with their fathers, they didn't seem to have too much of that, which was interesting, that their fathers were supportive and they got along and everything. So that was a nice element that I found out about.
And they formed the band, played a couple of gigs. I mean, it was a very, very quick, they didn't spend like 5 years on the road honing their sound. I mean, they became almost and I know it's a cliche, but an overnight sensation.
No, it's very true. They became successful so quickly, playing those first local gigs in the UK area and doing some European work with their first manager. And their first single and first album really took off so quickly. And they'd only been playing live and touring for a little while right before that happened. And as that happened, and I think the mega success of it just launched them into stadium playing eventually, you know, but very quickly. And then when they relocated to Los Angeles too, that was a big turning point for them, and such a quick climb.
Because they put out the debut album, America, and it's got, you know, the classic Horse with No Name and I Need You. And then 72 brings out Homecoming with Ventura Highway, which I just played now. So they had two big albums back to back. How did they handle this sort of sudden rise to fame? Do you think because they'd come from military families, they were a little more grounded than perhaps some rock and roll delinquents?
I think you're right. And you can see that in other rock and roll players as well. This military upbringing does instill that discipline, the same discipline really you could call what it takes to become a very good musician, the hours of playing and learning things. So that was interesting. But I think they took the whole success experience, who is part and parcel of what it was supposed to be like as a rock star, what they wanted it to be, and it just happened that way with them. So they weren't necessarily surprised by it, but so they expected it to go that way. And then later, as they got older, they realized how fascinating that was and how amazing that it happened so quickly for them.
It's interesting that, you know, you said, you know, that they came at the end and they came into that. Into that sort of Southern California, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, Bread, those sort of feel good 70s band, and that Southern California sort of singer-songwriter scene. But they had, you know, they had come from the UK. I mean, they were American. So, you know, were they taken with open arms by the, you know, the rest of the artists over there who'd been based, if you like, and come up with the whole hippie thing in the Haight-Ashbury scene?
Yes, it's interesting to consider how they were received when they first got into the LA scene and the LA music scene. hanging out right away, pretty much by, they switched managers and quickly, I mean, after that first album, when they came to LA for good and started working with Geffen Roberts, who was managing a lot of other top acts of the day of that same brand in a way. And I think that they, while they got to meet all their idols, which was amazing, like hanging out with Crosby, Stills, and Nash and that kind of thing. And I think that they were received well and respected in a way, but they were also looked on as a bit of like these young upstarts that had had this mega hit so quickly, and maybe in the eyes of some didn't necessarily, you know, that there were, there was a bit of jealousy going on, maybe, but in a friendly, fun way, I learned about it.
I mean, through the sort of the mid-70s, you've got that, like I said, you mentioned the Eagles, you mentioned Bread, you know, all those sort of bands. They sort of basically kept putting out, I mean, apart from one disastrous album, 73, they basically kept having hit album after hit album after hit album.
Was that Hat Trick, the disastrous album?
Yeah.
That's my favorite America album, so that's interesting. But I know exactly what you're alluding to, that it was a difficult project for them. It took so long and didn't really have the level of hits that the other albums previously had had.
How did they fare during, as the 70s turned into the 80s? Because many bands sort of went completely bananas, you know, and I'm talking to you, David Crosby. Others reinvented themselves, and I'm talking to you, Starship. How did America weather that sort of, you know, the new decade? Because the 80s was like an entirely different decade to the way the 60s and the 70s had been. This was a time of sort of yuppies, big hair and big shoulder pads.
Exactly. That's one of the favorite parts of the America story, the transition from the 70s to 80s. It was a transition in many ways for them, because Dan Peake, the third member, had left in 77, and it took them a bit of a period figuring out what to do, Jerry and Dewey, with their sound. They decided not to add another full member in that way, because Dan couldn't be replaced because his original sound was so essential. But then, even thinking about the 80s records that they worked on, and what was going on in recording at that time with, you know, drum machines and synthesizers becoming more of a thing, very different sound than America's original acoustic pure guitar sound. But they did work a lot of those elements into their 80s album, like Perspective. That was their last studio album for a while, actually. But if you listen to that record, it's such a different experience than their early work.
So what has America been up to, if you like, since sort of mid-80s, 90s? Have they kept on the road? Have they been, you know, touring to the fan base? Have they been off doing other projects? I mean, what have they been up to for the past, say, decade, if you like?
Yeah, well, they really did morph themselves more into a touring band after that Perspective album in the mid-80s. So a lot of musicians ended up doing that anyway, where they realized that as the musical tides were turning, that the success to be found was more in touring at that point and making that their major effort rather than just studio recordings. So they have really been on the road forever. But to me, it seems since the mid-80s, like just always on the road. And that's one of their main things. But they have recorded a couple of albums in the 90s and recently too. So they've always kept up the musical work that way.
The thing I like about them is the fact that they've never sort of really lost that innocence about them, or at least that good outlook on the world. I mean, many bands have been, you know, excuse my French, screwed over by their record company labels, Bad Trips, whatever, but they've always sort of kept a, not a wholesome image, but they've kept an upbeat image. They didn't go dark as several bands and songwriters did in the 70s and 80s.
That's exactly right, and that's part of why I was so drawn to write about them and why so many of their fans are so into them. I think it's for that innocent sound, like you said, and getting to know them as I did over the interviews over that year and or so I was interviewing them a couple of years. They're such nice guys, and that's actually at the beginning of the book as a quote. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek sort of thing. It's attributed to everyone I interviewed, because it literally did come up in every interview I did, how nice they were as people, you know, and I experienced that myself, so it's a true thing.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my next question. What are they like as people? Because, I mean, I imagine that, you know, being all peace and love on the stage and then squabbling, you know, all about who has the green M&Ms off stage, but so they approachable, just happy to speak to you?
Yes, very approachable and very happy to speak to me. At the beginning, I mean, it did take some conversations in terms of my ideas about the book, because there's a lot of song analysis in there that's more of my perspective. But we did agree on the main arguments of the book, and I think they liked my younger enthusiasm. I happen to be a bit of a younger person than the typical generation that they're from, and I think that appealed to them. But they're so easygoing, like their music is really. So the interviews were always such a nice experience for me, and they have great memory recall for 50 years. They remembered everything. You know, to me, that's how it seems.
I mean, who else did you speak to? Did you speak to other musicians, sound engineers, people who were around at the time? How did you sort of craft the book?
That was also such a nice part of the experience for me, as a rock writer, getting to talk to these people. And Jerry and Dewey were helpful in connecting me with a lot of them. I spoke with all of the past members from the original band, the original touring band. So I got to speak to drummer Willie Leacocks and Tom Walsh and Jimmy Cleary. But I also got to speak to Timothy B. Schmidt of the Eagles and Poco, which was a great time. And Al Jardine of the Beach Boys. That was a wonderful interview. And Jimmy Webb, the singer-songwriter, who's so influential to so many artists, and close friends with Jerry and Dewey. That was a wonderful interview too.
And how do you sort of structure the book and sit down? I mean, were you a big America fan before you started this project, or was it just another project because the band was celebrating 50 years?
It was more of my idea originally. So you could say I was a major fan, and that's what drove me. I had written in grad school my thesis about Bruce Springsteen. So I was into writing more academic type pieces about rock and roll from the 70s and 80s. And when I got into America's music, I just fell in love with their ethos, their peace, love, and happiness thing that reminded me of the Beatles, but had that 70s sound. But in terms of structure for the book, I decided to do it in a way of album by album. That's how because I like to analyze albums. So it's chronological. And it basically, for a while, each chapter is devoted to an album and the experience surrounding that. So it's mostly about the music that way.
What, sometimes authors get what I call a eureka moment when you go through, interviews and discographies and back catalogs and reviews of the time. And then you find that hook, that thing that brings the key, that brings all your research together. Did you have a eureka moment with this project?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there are two major ones that I can think of. One of them was when I realized in my studying and stuff how they are a logo band like Chicago and Steve Miller Band of the 70s. And I found some articles, a great article in the LA Times that Cameron Crowe actually wrote in the mid 70s interviewing them at the time. And they expressed frustration with them having such major success and yet not having an image, really not being always recognized by individual, everyone knew America and that logo and these great successful songs, but they were a bit elusive characters. So that was one of the points that I try to address in the book as well. And also in the beginning of the book, which really starts with around the Horse with No Name recording session, I remember when I traced I saw their characters, Jerry, Dewey, and Dan's characters, kind of representative of peace, love, and rock and roll. They each played a part of that in their ethos in the music, where Dewey has a peace-based approach, Jerry with all his romantic songs is a love-based approach, and Dan with his amazing guitar playing and sense of rock and roll has that. And I kind of drive the beginning of the story that way, that they were individually carrying peace, love, and rock and roll into the 1970s. So that was one of my major hooks.
Excellent. What are the fans like? What are America's fan base like? Because you say, we are a little bit younger perhaps than the average America fans. I mean, because is it a music that carries across generations? Do America gigs now have, grandparents with their grandchildren? I mean, how does that work out?
Yes, I think you're right. And being younger too, I was pleasantly surprised. I'm used to being a younger person in a lot of these older audience-based rock shows. But every America show that I've been to has generations. Every generation is there. And I think, like you said, people bring their kids, maybe their grandkids too, because they have the sound of the band has that family appeal, and that it's suitable, I think, for younger people. I've gotten to know some of the fans recently and over the past year. I have been surveying the fan message boards now, and then especially the beginning of my research, just to garner a sense of what their tone was like and what they felt about the band. And they're very loyal, which is great. But they're very devoted fans of the, that really have been following them for 50 years, a lot of them too. So that there's both ends of the spectrum that way, the newer fans and then these older, in quotes, fans.
What do you hope then that people take from the book America, the Band?
I hope that they realize or get to see how, while it's the story of this one band, America, it's also the story of the past 50 years in the music industry. So all the trends that came in and left, and all the different decisions at certain key points that artists were forced to make. That's one of the main points. And also, I just hope they realize how involved and how unique each of the albums are, because I think a lot of times they're seen, because their hits were so big, that their greatest hits album, the greatest hits are what's remembered and played, and that makes sense. But if you really get into these albums that the greatest hits stem from and the deep cuts on them, they're such rich listening experiences, and really like listening to Beatles albums, and you're able to take them apart if you're an audiophile. So that's so worth doing.
The book is called America, the Band. It's out now by Jude Warren. Is it Roman and Littlefield, I believe it's published by, I think?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And of course, it's available as a virtual download on the TRE virtual bookstore. If people want to find you, Jude, where can they find you? Is there a website, or do you Twitter and tweet? And when can people find you on the social media to get some more information?
I try to Twitter and tweet when I can. My website, yes, is www.judewarren.com, and you can read some of my other writings on there, some past articles I've had published on different rock artists. So that could be fun.
I'm going to throw you a curveball now, Jude, because you said something a little bit earlier on about how you got into this and how you deconstruct songs, and you just casually dropped into the conversation there that you did a thesis on Bruce Springsteen. I cannot let you go without explaining a little bit about that, please.
Yes. Well, this was probably toward the end of my graduate school, time when you decide what you're going to write about. And I had been taking mostly writing and literature and film courses at NYU. And I think I had been a Bruce fan for a while, like my family was. And his albums are so rich in terms of analyzing. And I wanted to write a paper just on Bruce Springsteen's like career, you know, but my advisor suggested I narrow it down to a more singular view of focus, and also to bring in literature I was forced to. So I ended up writing, comparing the Darkness on the Edge of Town album from 1978, analyzing that and comparing it to Winesburg, Ohio, this short story cycle by Sherwood Anderson from the early 20th century, and relating the characters from the album to the characters in that story cycle. So that was a good time.
Superb. Absolutely brilliant. Right then. But this book, well, that answered my question. I was just wondering, but I was just thinking, yeah, you're a thesis on Bruce Springsteen, and your teacher saying, yeah, just narrow it down a bit. But this book, this excellent book, is called America, the Band. It's by Jude Warren. Jude, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, Giles. I had a great time.
'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain. Had turned to sea. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There were sand and hills and rains. The ocean is a desert with its life underground and the perfect disguise above. Under the city remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.